You're supposed to say the lines.
Oh, is it? I gotta say that?
Yes.
Public service announcement. Views and opinions are of the
community. Fuck that bullshit. They are my opinions. And my guests. No one else's. Remember, this show ain't for chitlin's ears. So listening discretion and viewing discretion is advised. This is a paranormal horror crime show. So the scenes and the sounds could be a little terrifying to those little ears and those little eyeballs. And of course, there's obviously cussing. I mean, it's me. Please don't do anything that these stupid ass people do in podcast. This is for entertainment purposes and for you guys to listen with your ears. Consume the knowledge. And now, time for the show. Don't forget to click that like, subscribe, follow, you know the drill. Wherever you watch, wherever you listen. And thank you so much for your support.
Tú puedes tener todos los momentos que tú quieras.
You know, I wish I knew what that meant.
That means you can have all the minutes you like.
Sweet. What's up, everybody? It's Shauna with Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. Other people know me as Geeks, whatever you want to call me. Just don't call me late for dinner. I have a great guest on. I have a fantabulous guest on. It's Rich Valdez from the Legions of Exorcists. If you guys have not seen this show, you're missing out because it is pretty amazing. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Can't complain. Went to see the Blue Beetle.
I haven't seen that yet. My son wants to see that.
It's good.
Is it?
It's good. Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
He wanted to see it because his favorite actor is the dude from Cobra Kai.
He did a good job, but you know what? George Lopez did a better job.
I can probably see that. Most definitely.
He had the mullet going. He had the long beard like me. And, you know, it was cool. You know, he may be Mexican. I may be Cuban, but we're both Latinos. So
See, there it works out. It works out. Exactly. Now, his history with Cobra Kai probably helped him out a lot in that movie. I would not doubt it. But Cobra Kai is a flipping great show. Oh, my gosh.
I wish it was more than just 25 minutes, though.
Right. Same. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. You are a demonologist. So demonology has always been kind of a fascination for me. But at the same time, I never really researched it. So would you tell us a little bit about your background in demonology?
I really got started in the paranormal before demonology, and demonology was something that is more calling. My pastor, Pastor Frank Marzullo, may rest in peace, just, I'd say a month or two before I turned 18, approached me. I'd been in his church since I was 11, and he noticed that I always had an epiphany for, you know, anything and resonated with anything angelic, anything demonic within biblical texts. And he felt that I had a calling for demonology. Now, mind you, at 18, I had never heard the term demonology, and he approached me and he said, I want to see if you'd like to be trained as a demonologist. I'd mentor you. And I'm like, what's a demonologist? Because I had never heard the term, honestly. I mean, up until then, I was familiar with just about any and all terms when it came to paranormal, but when it came to demonology, That was the first time I ever heard it. Once he explained it, he said, look, don't decide right then and there. Pray about it. Get back to me. Let me know if you're cool. And we'll start when you turn 18. And I was like, all right, we can do that. Took about a week, meditated, prayed on it, spoke to a few people that were influential in my life, and they helped me come to the decision that it was for me. So I started when I was 18. That went on for 2.5 years. Unfortunately, he passed away. I wasn't able to continue my training with him, and then went for a few years just doing my own stuff in the paranormal and still studying what he had taught me, until I found myself another church. I brought my credentials with. The pastor was impressed. He said, you really just need like a year, maybe a year and a half or something, and then, you know, on-field training, and you're good to go. And I was with them for 17, 18 years, give or take.
Wow.
And I worked cases for the church and as a non-denominational Christian religious demonologist. I know that's a mouthful right there. I just realized that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to say that 5 times fast before you got on the show, and I just couldn't do it.
Don't even try, because, you know, this would be a whole different kind of show. but yeah, that's pretty much how I got started. And then in 2010, I had already been doing a lot of cases for the church. I already had my team going, the paranormal consulting agency. 2010, Bishop Long reached out to me.
Great guy.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome person. I consider him a brother. And he said, Rich, I've read your credentials. I've read everything there is. I know of you. Your reputation precedes you. I have what's called the paranormal clergy, and I'd like for you to be an administrator for the paranormal clergy. And I was like, mind you, at that time, I had heard of Bishop James Long, but I didn't know him. I mean, I had heard about him.
Oh, of course.
But I was like, sure, let me think about it. And I did no research on him. I felt like there, right there, it was like the same calling.
You could trust him.
Yeah. And the same thing I felt with Pastor Frank Marzullo back in the day. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take your offer. And he said, may I also teach you or be your mentor for demonology under the old Catholic Church? Because it's completely different. It's,
yeah,
the old Catholics have their way of doing demonology, and Baptists, you know, Protestants, you name them, they have their ways. Some have demonologists, some don't. And that was another 5 years of life that was taken up studying. Yeah. And
I bet.
I'm telling you, he's a taskmaster. not in a mean way.
He's
very, you know, thorough. By the book, and he makes sure that you know your stuff. And around 2015, he finally gave me the certification, recognized me under his church, the United States Old Catholic Church, as their resident demonologist. And been doing that too. So I guess 35 years as a demonologist, 38 years as a paranormal investigator.
So during your time as a paranormal investigator, did you even once think about demonology, like demons? I mean, I know it might not have been the same word.
Yeah, they tend to pop in. I mean, they know who you are. They know what your calling is. I've always said, the devil doesn't bother with those that are already, you know, naughty. It's not, I hate to make him sound like Santa Claus, you know, he's checking his list, who's naughty and nice.
Right.
He messes more with the faithful. He messes more with the ones that are in good standing with God, because those are the ones that pose a threat to him.
Yeah.
The ones that are already doing, you know, their crap off on the side, that he's like, hey, you're funny, cool. He doesn't really care much about, you know, but he lets you know. You know, it's not just a nudge that he does. He lets you know, when it pushes you down. And let me tell you, I've gone through a lot of crap over the years. During investigations, what we thought to be a human spirit ends up being inhuman, or an inhuman comes in to mess with my team and I, or with me, because I did the paranormal by myself for a long, long time.
By yourself? I would go in.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got no fear. I really don't. It's to me.
I've gotten in trouble for doing it by myself.
Well, you know, I should have, because the very first place I went into, I was 16 going on 17, drove over.
Baby, yeah. You were a baby.
I was a baby, but I was like way ahead of myself. I'm what they call an old soul. So at that time, there was the Biltmore Hotel in Coral Gables, South Florida, in Miami, the Miami area. And it was closed off. It had boards everywhere. It had been abandoned for, I'd say, well over a decade. And it was a beautiful hotel back in the day, but it has history. During World War II, they closed it down and turned it into a makeshift hospital.
Oh.
The morgue was the front lobby. That's where they laid out all the bodies.
Oh, my Lord.
And Al Capone was also known for staying in the 13th floor. Yes, I said 1-3 floor. The elevator still to this day has the number 13.
You know, that's my lucky number.
Mine's 17.
Oh, but, nice.
Yeah. So I was like, I need to go here. So I grabbed. Yeah. Okay. I'm telling on my age here. I grabbed my Polaroid.
Hey.
And I.
I'm with you.
I grabbed my big old Polaroid and my cassette player. Okay. Tape, cassette,
lead. I love those.
Player. I think those are better now than what we got nowadays. I went through, it was like an opening. There was a pole and the chain link, and there was an opening. I went underneath and I started walking towards the building. Front door was chained, side door was chained, went to the back, it was wide open.
Oh, whoa.
I went through there. As I go through there and through all the homeless people, I was like, they were scaring me
more
than what I was potentially going to find. Made my way up to the 13th floor through the stairs. Let me tell you, as young as I was, that does hurt your thighs. That
was 13 floors of stairs. Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, and my God.
Tell you, it was interesting because the 13th floor in the Biltmore Hotel is not the main tower. It's a tower off to the side, and it's an actual suite that takes up the whole floor. In order to get to that floor, you need a special key.
Oh, so
when I got in there, yeah, there's actual bullet holes that were still in there of Capone that he had left in the wall and stuff like that. Would you believe with everything? I got no evidence whatsoever.
What? Nothing.
I got more homeless people and on Polaroid and more, you know, vomiting sounds off in the distance because they had some bad wine or something.
Right.
And I did paranormal. I was like, oh, well.
Well, that was sad. Right? So,
yeah. But slip in, by the way. They do tend. There was a case that actually haunted me for a very long time, and I'll get into that later, where it was a name. And I know it sounds familiar if you're a paranormal show enthusiast, but let's just say they stole my concept, my life, and a lot of what is used nowadays. I'm not going to mention names,
but I know who you're talking about.
My every case that I had, once I had actually gone through the deliverance of helping a person, a friend, very close friend of mine, get delivered from a demonic activity, that demon didn't really like me much after that. And it really wasn't me, because it's never you. It's God working through you. But I mean, don't kill the messenger, but they do try. And every case I had after that, the name of the demon would come through in the EVPs over and over. This went on for a year and a half, maybe more.
So is it true that the name of the demon is really what gets to them?
That you, by having their name, you have control over them. You can pretty much, it's like, you know, I own you, bitch.
Wow.
And yeah, that's how it works. So
why was this particular demon going towards you all the time?
Because that's the demon that actually left the body of my friend.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
It wreaked havoc in my life and in the life of my team. I felt very responsible for that because
was out of your hands, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But at the same time, you start thinking to yourself, you know, I shouldn't feel guilty because this is what they want me to feel.
Right.
This is how they get in. This is how they hook you. And I figured, no, I'm not going to feel guilty. I did what I had to do, and I don't regret it. But in the meantime, I'm looking around me, and my teammates are getting, I had one that broke his leg. I'm talking within the span of 3 months.
Oh,
broke his leg. Another one was hospitalized twice in 3 months. The other one was being harassed through night terrors, and he was our medium at the time.
Mm.
We had one quit.
Wow.
The other one, actually, come to think of it later on, another one quit on me, a very close dear friend of mine. And we went for 10 years afterwards, not talking. They destroy your life. I mean, this is nothing to play around with. So whenever I have anyone come to me and they say, I want to be a demonologist, I'm like, I want to jump off a cliff too. Did I never, you know, ever did I say. But it's true. It's like, no one, I don't wish this on anyone, much less myself. Why would you want this? Do you have a calling? Mind you, I've had many people approach me. I've only mentored one.
Wow.
And she's doing a great job. Her name is Leslie, and she's Leslie Cody. She's not only a demonologist for the United States Old Catholic Church. So when I can't do my job and I'm busy because, you know, the show's been out and everything, and I'm doing podcasts and whatever else or conventions, she takes over. And I know that the United States Old Catholic Church is in good hands with her. Plus, she's a therapist. She's a, you know, psychotherapist.
Oh, that's perfect. That's like a double.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Exactly. Kind of so you can tell the crazies from the not so crazies.
Exactly.
Wow. That is, oh my gosh. So you said you were how old whenever this, you started doing demonology?
Demonology, I started training really at 18.
18. Wow, you were still a baby.
I was, but I was a legal adult. I was old enough to join the military.
That's so true. I did the military. Your condolences.
Thank you for your service. I appreciate it.
There are others out there that deserve it more than I do, but thank you.
I always honor those that have served our country, and you know, as far as I'm concerned, we're not worthy.
There's a lot of shit that you deal with when you're in there, because you don't even imagine. Half the people in this country don't even imagine what you have to deal with when you're in the service, because they don't realize that when you're in, your body belongs to the government. It doesn't matter where you are, or what you do. If you deny the government, you get dishonorable discharge, period. And your life is fucking ruined for the rest of your, you know, existence. Yeah. So you have to do what they do. So if they have an experimental drug, you have to take it or you get dishonorable discharge.
So I need to ask you this question. All right.
Okay.
So, Shaw, do aliens really exist?
You know, I kind of believe they do. I kind of believe they do.
You kind of sort of pleaded the fifth there.
I did. I did. All right. Because you never know. I mean, who knows? Ooh. Maybe spirits are aliens with invisible cloaks like Harry Potter.
No, no. I believe they exist. I believe aliens do exist.
Oh, I do too. I've seen too much shit in the sky that is unexplainable for me to even say that. I mean, we would be egotistical to believe that we don't have somebody else out in the universe. Especially after they've already seen another Earth-like planet in another universe.
Yeah, but then they question how'd they get here. And I'm like, well, maybe they have technology we don't, you know, have you ever thought of that?
But it also makes me wonder, we can take pictures of worlds way out and God knows where, but we can't have a good picture of a robber or a murderer.
Actually, you know, it's getting harder and harder nowadays, because every time I watch the news, it's like they show the video of the person that did what they did in the store, walking out the store, and now standing in front of your door because of those, what are they called?
The ring cords? Bells?
The ring. Yeah. Yes. So it's like you see the person walking up with a knife.
And you can see their face. You can see them. So what the hell?
I know who you are now. We're going to, yeah. All right, buddy. You're the weird dude that lives like four doors from me.
Right. But yeah, convenience stores. Y'all got me sus. State and GOV people, you got me sus. I'm telling you. Do not trust your government. Okay.
No,
But anyway, on to the next topic. So, all right, you started this at 18 years old, and then Bishop Long approached you when you were how old?
Oh, well, that was 2010.
So that was...
I'm
45, so I'm...
I'm trying to do the math here, and I suck
at math. I suck at math, too. So, I can't stand it.
I'd have to say I was 40.
Oh, okay. So you were already well into your paranormal career before he actually approached you. Yeah.
And also demonology, because I was still working for the other church. Once I started working for Bishop, I kind of still did both. Mm-hmm. But I've always been about, hey, you know what? I got a lot on my plate. I'm still doing cases for the other church I was working for. And then I'm here also being trained for the old Catholic faith demonology, plus running my own team and starting my show, Greetings from Beyond Radio, my podcast. Back then, I was like, I ain't going to have time for all this. So
I kind of felt like that on a daily basis.
Yeah. I dropped Greetings from Beyond Radio. I dedicated myself to just administrating for the paranormal clergy for Bishop Long, and also working, you know, being mentored by him. Finished that around 2015, and he made paranormal clergy mine 2019. So now I own it and run it.
Wow. Yeah. So you're a busy, busy man. Thank you so much for your time on the show today. You know, I sit there and I think about it on a daily basis because I have a full-time job. I'm also doing a review on investigations that I've been on. Hinsdale House was 4 days worth of review. 4 days. Mm-hmm. How the hell am I going to get all that shit in? But alas, I got that. Plus, I got Indiana. Plus, I got two more coming. I understand your pain. That's what I'm trying to get out. I understand. And I'm a mom.
Yeah.
And a wife. So I understand. I understand. However, I do not have to do all the production thing, I guess, that you do. Because I'm pretty sure that's pretty demanding, especially with Bishop Long in play. Because he is, you got to be there. You got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was 5 years of stuff I already knew, but there was a few things that changed here and there because of the Catholic religion that I had to apply that I never had to apply before. Being from a non-denominational Christian faith, there's a lot more. It's more complex when it comes to the Catholic faith, and that took a minute.
Oh, gosh.
Brain around it, yeah.
Mama liked to have had my hide when she saw my dog tags and it said Protestant, no denomination.
Here's the way I see it. I know I'm going to surprise a lot of people when I say this, but I would wager to say there's good magic, black magic. There's, black witches. There's good witches. Mm-hmm. There's good Christians. There's bad Christians too.
Yes.
And I always say the biggest cause of all of this is religion.
Yep.
Religion is the main culprit here. Faith should never be touched. I don't care what your faith is or anybody else out there's faith is. If you're happy and it makes you happy, clap your hands and go for it. Just do you. And my faith is the Christian faith, but I will never proclaim to be an evangelical Christian, shoving things down your throat.
I can't stand that.
Thumping you with the Bible over you. No, I'm not like that. In fact, in the teachings of Jesus, he never did that.
No, he didn't.
That is the Christian, westernized Christian version here in the States of Christianity. Jesus, he preached to the lepers. He preached to the prostitutes. He preached to the poor. He preached to every demographic. Yeah. He wasn't hanging with the kings and queens or anything like that. He was talking to the people.
Yeah.
So I always take this stance when I see any religious organization taking a political stance behind any one particular political, I don't care what they subscribe to, or if they choose to down on Buddhists, Native Americans, witches, anything that doesn't coincide with the Christian faith, it's a sin to judge.
Yeah, it is.
And here they are, and in fact, one of the scriptures say that, you're basically complaining about that speck in your brother's eye, but you forget about the plank in yours. I kind of dumbed it down a little bit for everyone. And that's
it's needed. It's needed.
It really is.
In the same age.
There's a lot of people nowadays that are taking the stance. And Jesus is never supposed to be exclusive.
No.
He's supposed to be, as he was, inclusive.
Yep.
To everybody. So when people take that stance, or people that are spiritual leaders take a stance behind any one particular or against any one particular group, I don't care what it is, you are then doing the opposite of what Jesus did.
Oh yeah.
And you should really rethink your faith there, buddy.
Definitely. Always. Definitely. Don't judge lest ye be judged.
There you go.
Yes.
There's a gazillion verses like that.
Yes, there are. And I am totally with you on that. There was one instance where I was talking to someone and I was letting them know that I believe all religions come from one kind of being. I totally believe in God. I wouldn't be here today. I believe that there are so many chances that I should have just died because I've had too many close encounters if it wasn't for someone watching out for me. Right. And I have actually been told by my daughter's old pastor, you have so much spiritual in you. You would be great in the spiritual world. Yeah, but not in yours. But, that's just me. I have been, I guess you could say, what's the word I'm looking for? Tricked too many times in Christian churches and all that other kind of stuff that I believe. Like they always say, well, you got to congregate to be able to worship. No, you don't. You can congregate in your own house in the corner of your room by yourself to talk to God. You don't have to be in a group of people to do it.
I agree.
But at the same time,
exploring the paranormal perspective will be right back.
Are you looking for a supernatural radio show that is informative and fun? A show with topics such as ghosts, Bigfoot, psychic energy, spirits, cryptids, and more, hosted by paranormal investigators with years of investigations under their belts? Then look no further than The Calling 2.0, powered by the Sim Crew, hosted by paranormal investigator Jerry and psychic medium Valentina, along with others. Tune in Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the Para-X Radio Network.
Where is the Sea of Moons? Is it on the moon? Or in a haunted part of the Pacific Ocean? Or is it just in our heads?
What if you dreamed of meeting a beautiful Irish girl, but she turned out to be a cop? What if you dreamed that you were on TV 24/7, but only the government knew the channel? And what if you dreamed you were shipwrecked on a deserted island and rescued by five lovely castaways, only to have some real pirates ruin the party? Then you should wake up and read The Sea of Moons, the latest installment in Mac Maloney's best-selling series, codename Starman. Follow the adventures of U.S. Navy's Special Agent Chris Starr as he travels the globe using his special ESP powers to solve top-secret mysteries. First in Ireland, then in Tahiti, and finally to Hollywood, where Chris and his girlfriend Angel discover the only spooks inside an old haunted house belong to the CIA. That's Codename Starman, The Sea of Moons by Mac Maloney. On sale on Amazon and in bookstores everywhere.
Do you know where the world's most secret bases are located? Do you know what spooky action at a distance means? Is there a conspiracy by aliens to prevent us from conquering space? And where is the best place in the United States to see a real UFO? Find the answers to all these questions and more in Mac Maloney's new book, Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe. Visit places you never knew existed, the Phantom Tunnels of Tokyo, the UFO Trail in South America, Ong's Hat, and the very mysterious M Triangle. Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe contains hundreds of reports on ghosts, haunted planes and ships, weird celebrity deaths, mysterious sounds, and a breakdown of every monster in America, state by state. You've heard him talk about it on the radio. Now, get all of Mac's paranormal research in one large volume. Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe, with a foreword by the very famous Juan Juan. On sale now in your local bookstore or on Amazon.com.
Hey everybody, it's Angel Ray. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Shauna. She is going to be having a new podcast. Sounds like a lot of fun. I can't wait to be a guest on there myself. It's called Exploring the Paranormal Perspective. And you can catch her on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Central Time on Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to Exploring the Paranormal Perspective.
But at the same time, it is kind of weird when you have people like that come up to you and say that kind of thing, that kind of stuff, because you're just then second guessing yourself. I have second guessed myself so many times. I bought this cross from Christopher Booth at a convention, and I have not taken it off. The only time I take it off is if the band breaks or something. But this actually takes me through my paranormal investigations, and I believe that there's so much in it that actually protects me. Not only that, Casey Scruggs, I don't know if you know who he is, Padre Scruggs, he has blessed a couple of rosaries for me that I take with me as well.
Okay.
But going on that, that's a Catholic religion. A lot of people don't seem to think that that's something that they should take on. But what do you think? Can anyone take that kind of stuff with them? Or should they just stick to the one thing that they believe protects them?
You know what? Even if your dog medals, your dog tags was something that you had a lot of faith in, take that with you. It's the energy you put into it. Also, I believe that you could buy, I'm trying to find something here. I can. Okay. You can buy a beanie like this. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then have, in my opinion, I think it works best. I'd have Bishop Long bless it for me. Mm-hmm. I'd put it on my head and I know I'm good. But then again, I got all these medallions that have been blessed by him as well that I wear. Mm-hmm. And it's the faith I have that it's coming from a man of God that has chosen to, you know, serve God and turn to that. I believe it doesn't even have to be a physical thing. If you go into an investigation and you are believing that you're going to be safe throughout your investigation because mm-hmm. you placed a bubble around you or whatever it is you choose to do, it's that faith that you have in whatever you may believe at that moment in time. For me, it's Jesus. It's for me, it's I have to meditate a good 2 days and pray. I even will fast at times before I go into anything that has to do with the church because I need to go in prepared.
Oh yeah.
To do just the testing. I don't know what's waiting for me there. I don't know if it's one, two, or a legion of, you know, demons. So I have to be prepared spiritually.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Whenever it comes to the Catholic denomination, you're saying all Catholic, and then you've got the United States Catholic Church. What is the difference between the two?
They're both one and the same. It's just that the United States Old Catholic is bishops, you know, branch. It's still from the old Catholic Church. There's the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church is from Rome. The old Catholic Church splintered from the Roman Catholic faith because the old Catholic faith refuses to believe, or they don't believe that the Pope is infallible.
Yeah.
And where the Roman Catholic people, not downing on them or bashing them, they believe that the Pope is like a physical representation of God here on earth. No, I don't believe in that. Sorry, I just don't. I can't. So when Bishop pretty much introduced the old Catholic faith to me and I started reading up on it and studying it, I said, you know what, this is actually something I could get behind, because the one thing I love about Bishop James Long is he doesn't judge.
Oh, I know.
At all. He won't, he doesn't care if you're pro LGBTQ. He doesn't care if you're, for what are they called? Fuzzies.
Oh, furries. Yeah. Furries.
He doesn't give a crap. He all he cares about is, Are you a child of God? You're welcome in my church.
And do you do you do bad things? Yeah.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care. And that is why he and I have resonated so well for 13 years, going on 14, because he's my brother from another mother. And
I understand that. So was his teachings gruesome? Were they really, really like in, well, of course they're in depth, but were they like, did you ever get to a point where you're like, oh God, I can't do this?
Well, no, I had already been doing it for years before I met him. But the limitation, you're talking about like video and files and whatnot.
Yeah.
I got that on both ends. It didn't matter whether it was from the old Catholic or the non-denominational Christian. You still got the gruesome files, the pictures, people disjointed in ways they shouldn't be. Levitation. There's so many things. Pictures of people's eyes, regular. Then all of a sudden, trance. And then white or complete black.
Wow.
I've seen it in live. Yeah, that's not fun. I've seen people's body contort in such a way on the floor. They've literally fallen. I saw one exorcism. It wasn't really an exorcism. It was a deliverance because it was done by Frank Marzullo and the co-pastor. I was waiting. Now, this is impressionable because I was still 18 years old. And this had me thinking again. I was like, maybe I don't want to do this. So we were in a dance studio for ballerinas. At that time, they were waiting for the church to be built, and they were, you know, doing everything, all of the services in this dance studio. So there were like, it was a vast floor. So you walk in, it's an office, desk, couch, then you have a two-way window and a door, and it's a two-way mirror, I should say. So I could see into the studio, but no one from the studio could see in to me. And Frank Marzullo waited for me at the desk and said, "Rich, we just got a phone call and we're going to be taking care of this." And mind you, back then it was like, you know, pick up.
Yeah.
Okay. You had to dial and all that stuff. And I was like, "All right." He said, "Wait right here. We should be done in like 40 minutes. I'm like, "Damn, man, 40 minutes. That's a long time." All right. I didn't know what was going on. He goes inside. I notice there's a chair sitting solo right smack middle of the studio. And his co-pastor, Dr. Lawton Smith, is there as well. And off to the side on the back door comes in a couple, young couple, I'd say 28, 29, a man and a woman, and I guess her dad. And they walk in, they greet them. I don't hear what's going on. All I remember is they guide her to the chair. She's sitting there. She's looking at everyone and she's smiling. Someone cracked a joke. And then all of a sudden he starts the deliverance prayer. I'd say within 5 minutes, that woman stood up, and mind you, I'm facing her. So she's facing me, but she can't see me. She stood up and just went, did it. You know how, when you fall, you try and catch yourself.
Yeah.
She did it. She was just straight on like this and just went whack, face first, and then started slithering around them. That is, I'm here thinking that's physically impossible, but here I am looking at it. I'm 18 and I'm like, oh, hell no. She cray cray.
Right?
Okay. Then she comes around the chair. So I had Frank Marzullo's back, Pastor Frank Marzullo here, and co-pastor Lawton Smith here, and the husband and the father behind the chair. She came around the chair, and then she arched her back with no help from her hands. Meaning, that's impossible. I want you to think about this logically. If you're going to arch your back, and let's say I think that in yoga, it's called the cobra.
It is.
You use your
hands. I just
hands,
did it today.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
She wasn't using her hands. She just went like that. And I couldn't hear anything, but I would imagine you'd hear vertebrae going crack, crack, crack,
yeah,
crack, crack, crack. Then she started doing this. Okay.
It's just like a snake.
Yeah, like a cobra. And Frank is here. And then she stopped here. And I literally read her lips, and it's funny you had mentioned that earlier that you could read lips because we couldn't hear each other.
Right.
I'm gonna do this for you and see if you can read my lips now.
He's something.
He's next.
Oh, dang.
It was looking right at me. It saw right through that two-way, and I was like,
I'm out. I'm out
to the couch where I couldn't see that two-way anymore, and I had the Bible. I was like, oh Jesus, help me.
Oh my God,
what am I doing here? I was about to call my mom and tell her, come pick me up now. Yeah, it was bad. I'm telling you, that was very impressionable, and I was actually rethinking, maybe I shouldn't be doing this.
Right?
Because part of the non-denominational Christian faith of being a demonologist is you're also taught how to do deliverance, not exorcisms. Exorcisms are reserved only for the Catholic Church, the Catholic faith. And deliverances is almost the same thing, but it's different. It's a series of prayers, and you keep praying, and you keep coming against the demon. They teach you what to say, what not to say. You never say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, because that's inviting a demon into you.
Oh, God.
You always say,
I didn't know that.
Oh, no. Good. Now you know. Just in case you ever find yourself in the middle of an exorcism, don't say that.
No.
The one that taught me that was Frank Marzullo, and he stated, never say that. You say, Jesus Christ commands
you
to leave. If you say, I command you, and then it, no, then you are opening yourself up for that demon to come into you, or demons, plural. So there's a lot of things that a lot of people don't understand when it comes to demonology. And I often worry about these self-proclaimed demonologists that formal experience whatsoever, just because they saw Supernatural maybe 3 or 4 episodes.
And they read up on it in Wikipedia. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, I got this. Mm-mm. Watch it. I'm like, and then while they're saying, watch this, I'm like, nah, you watch this. Right? You ain't gonna like what's gonna happen. Just saying.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No, it scares the mess out of me, because I'll go out into, you know, I'll go investigate. And a lot of people are, you know, a lot of people out there wonder, well, why, where's all your stuff? You've been investigating for over a decade. Well, a lot of my stuff is personal. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't expose them unless they ask me, you know, they say it's okay. But there was one incident that I got from an Instagram post where a gentleman was like, I think there's something demonic going on here, blah, blah, blah. Granted, at the time, I believe it was just dust. You look at it and it's just dust. But there was other things going on that he couldn't explain. So I got Padre Casey involved, and I was like, I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if he's trying to trick me into coming out there, or if he's really got something going on. I really need you to talk to him. So he did, and I haven't heard anything back. So I'm assuming, I shouldn't assume, but I'm assuming that everything's taken care of, because he hasn't got back with me either. But it's scary. Sorry. No, you're fine. But it's a scary incident. And there's times that I really want to look into demonology and know what I'm going for before I hit a house that might be infested, because I have a little girl to think about. I have a family to think about.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't want that to come home with me.
Part of the history of demonology, there's a reason why priests take an oath of celibacy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were, back in the day, talking hundreds of years ago, they were supposed to be also trained to do exorcisms and extract demons.
Mm-hmm.
But demonology is simply a step down from being a deacon to being a priest, and then the church christening you with the right to be a bishop. And I've often thought to myself, and this is one of the many things that people don't think about, and they should. If and when, and I've had many, many occasions where I'll go, my team and I will go and help out another team. And they didn't give me all the information. And I guess that's kind of my fault, because I never give the information mm-hmm. to our medium. Mm-hmm. I want our medium literally white toast. I want no butter, no jelly, no peanut butter on it. I just want white toast there, or wheat toast. I don't care what your preference is. Going in, and if it comes out stained, it better be edible. If it ain't edible, we got problems. But you know, it is what it is. And I went into a case, I'll never forget this case, because it affected the medium I was working with and almost took her over.
Oh, no.
They had not given me all of the case files. Now, I'm one of those old fashioned where I will literally go,
mm-hmm.
don't give me a PDF. You better be printing that out. I want it in a manila folder. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be reading that. And they left out that there were certain phenomenon taking place with the family that, to an untrained eye, but to a trained eye, would indicate demonic.
Wow.
And I said, wait, what's that other manila folder? And mind you, my psychic medium is already in the house doing her walkthrough. And they're doing it with my tech. She, you know, my tech was following her with the video camera. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what's that other manila folder in your van? Oh, that's the other part of the case. I'm like, you didn't give me that? And I start reading through it. And I'm like, Shaw, mm-hmm. I kid you not. Not even into the second page. I'm like, my eyes, and mind you, I got squinty eyes. I'm like,
oh,
get her out now.
Oh my gosh. That's all I said.
In fact, they were like, huh? Nah. I went inside and I said, get out now. Now. She's like, Rich, there's like something really bad back there. Yeah, you're not getting out enough.
Like, you're not fast, sir. You're
with me right now. Come on now, move, hustle. And some guy walked up, I forgot his name, and he said, oh, that folder, that was for me to handle later on. And I'm like, you, who are you? Because they were a team of five, and this guy was kind of like, I was wondering about him, because he was kind of like, you know, just walking the sidewalk every now and then. I swear, he'd be like walking around, and he'd do like a, and he'd keep walking, and then he'd come back around. I'm like, this guy's shit. Who is this guy? And for 30 minutes, he was doing that. And he all of a sudden comes up, and he's like, I'm the demonologist of this team. I'm like, well, are you now? All righty then. So I'm here reading about this, and he's like, yeah, I was going to take care of that. I was just waiting for you guys to leave. I'm like, oh, is that so? So, Mr. Demonologist, what's your formal training? Oh, well, I'm self-taught.
Oh, Lord.
What? Yeah, I'm a self-taught proctologist, but you know what? That doesn't mean you should run if you see me go snap. Got any
lupus? I'm out. Yeah. I'm out.
Hey, wait, I'm a proctologist. You can trust me.
No. Right? Negatory.
So here I am. I'm like, okay. Self-taught. What church do you answer to? He's like, I don't. Well, I go to a church, but they don't know what I do. I'm like, wait. They don't know you're a paranormal investigator. They don't know you're a demonologist, or they don't know you're both. They don't know either. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. So you don't answer to a church, a pastor, a bishop, or a priest. You just randomly do this on your own.
That's scary.
Yeah, and I'm damn good at it. I'm like, you know what? And I looked right at the lead investigator, and I told her, this file tells me you guys are screwed, and I feel bad for this family. I'm going to take my team now and go. And mind you, that was a good four-hour drive to get there and a good four-hour drive to get back.
That poor family.
I'm sorry that I wasted my time coming here. And I did. I wasn't about to step on their toes. This was their case. I dismissed myself from the family. They said, oh, why are you leaving? And I said, I just know this. I'm going to keep you in my prayers, because I here's my card. I gave them my card. If anything else continues to happen, please feel free to call me. That's my direct line.
Right.
Just like that. And I looked at the lead investigator when I went outside, and I took one puff of my cigarette, and I said, what you are doing here is unconscionable. It's unconscionable. That, what you call a demonologist, that self-proclaimed demonologist, is going to do more damage to this family than the demon itself. And I hope and pray that somehow, some way, the client or the clients reach down and grab that card and call me. Because FYI, I work, and at that time I was working for Bishop James Long. I am a demonologist. I have my certification. I am recognized by a church. I did my formal training. That over there, that came out of God knows where from the backwoods and thinks he knows what he's talking about, is going to do more damage than the demon itself. This is all on you. Like Pilate, I washed my hands of this. And I said, I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to drive my team back because you guys are dangerous. And there's a gazillion teams out there like that. Nowadays, I don't know. That's
scary. No, there still are.
Yeah, they mostly do not residentials. They do commercial locations, you know, like abandoned places.
Oh, yeah.
But the residential, they've broken away from. I still do residentials. It's part of my forte.
I have a lot of people, like I've had a couple of instances where I've gone in and I have actually asked somebody from the Catholic Church to help me because I refuse to claim anything to do with that until I've had training in it. I don't want to do it. That is not my forte.
Even then, it needs to be a calling.
Yes,
I see no problem studying it.
Right.
Knowing what to look for. But you better have a calling for it. You just can't say, I trained in it. I read about it. Don't go in with all guns blazing because you will have your ass handed to you. Guaranteed.
Let me tell you,
this guy has had his ass handed to him plenty of times. Okay.
You want to explain?
Sure.
Go for it.
I had one particular case. Took a month. I'll tell you why it took a month for us to get there. Okay. This demon didn't want us there. First month, or actually the first week of that month, it's Friday. We were going to go on Saturday evening. Friday, I end up having to go to the hospital.
Thanks to Rich Valdez for being on the show. If you want to find out more of what's happening with Rich Valdez, tune in next week. Same time, same channel. Thank you so much for listening and have a wonderful rest of your week, a wonderful weekend. Until next time, stay free, stay sweet, and always do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Bye, y'all.